election potentially in January.
Republican presidential candidates took on abortion during Wednesday night's debate in Florida.
One of the final questions of the night on NBC, abortion, Nikki Haley.
I am unapologetically pro-life, not because the Republican Party tells me to be, but because my husband Michael was adopted and I had trouble having both of my children. So I'm surrounded by blessings.
Tim Scott.
I'm 100% pro-life.
Ron DeSantis.
The Democrats have taken a position they will not identify the point at which there should be any protection all the way up until birth. That is wrong, and we cannot stand for that.
Vivek Ramaswamy, who's from Ohio, where abortion was on the ballot Tuesday night.
If in the state of Ohio we talked about access to contraception, adoption, and also here's the missing ingredient in this movement, sexual responsibility for men.
And Chris Christie.
This is an issue that should be decided in each state.
Matt Piper, CBS News.
Donald Trump spoke at a campaign rally about 10 miles away, wildly overstating the size of the crowd.
I'm standing in front of tens of thousands of people right now, and it's on television. That's a hell of a lot harder to do than a debate.
The venue holds about 5,000 people. There's been an American attack on Iranian military assets. Your CBS's Weijia Zhang.
At the direction of President Biden, two F-15 fighter jets launched airstrikes in eastern Syria at that weapons facility that is used by Iran's Revolutionary Guard and proxy forces that are backed by Iran.
The U.S. says the strikes are in retaliation for recent attacks on bases housing American troops in Syria and Iraq. An arrest has been made in the murder of Samantha Wall, the president of a synagogue in Detroit, WWJ's reporter Luke Sloan.
Investigators have not released the motive in the killing, but say there's no evidence to suggest that it was a hate crime. Detroit police says that even though a suspect is in custody, the investigation into Wall's murder has not been concluded.
Workers are still cleaning up a funeral home in Colorado where nearly 200 bodies were found improperly stored. Tremont County Coroner Randy Keller.
So a lot of people were curious as to how this impacted my staff, and I can say unequivocally that it was a very negative impact.
The owners of the funeral home were arrested Wednesday. This is CBS News.
Make the hiring process work for you. With Indeed's end-to-end hiring solution, you can attract, interview, and hire candidates all from one place. Start at Indeed.com.
Did you know this local radio station is part of Civic Media? Learn more about the entire network at civicmedia.us. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. The Todd Alba Show.
I had tweeted out after the second game of the year, a hot take. I said, by the end of the year, we will see Braden Lock as the starting quarterback of the Wisconsin Badgers. Now, Mr. Mordecai broke his hand. And by golly, not the way I thought it would happen, but Braden Lock has become the starting quarterback.
And another finger on the monkey's paw curls.
Where did you get that one?
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Christopher Cruz. The Actors Union has reached a tentative agreement to end their strike. Elaine Lowe is a reporter at the Hollywood trade publication, The Ankler.
With the holidays coming up, that's typically a dead zone for Hollywood. You know, the agencies shut down. It's hard to wrangle people, to schedule people for production. So typically outside of Thanksgiving and Christmas, we're looking at resuming production potentially in January.
Republican presidential candidates took on abortion during Wednesday night's debate in Florida.
One of the final questions of the night on NBC. Abortion, Nikki Haley.
I am unapologetically pro-life, not because the Republican Party tells me to be, but because my husband Michael was adopted and I had trouble having both of my children. So I'm surrounded by blessings.
Tim Scott.
I'm 100% pro-life.
Ron DeSantis.
The Democrats have taken a position they will not identify the point at which there should be any protection all the way up until birth. That is wrong, and we cannot stand for that.
Vivek Ramaswamy, who's from Ohio, where abortion was on the ballot Tuesday night.
If in the state of Ohio we talked about access to contraception, adoption, and also here's the missing ingredient in this movement, sexual responsibility for men.
And Chris Christie.
This is an issue that should be decided in each state.
Matt Piper, CBS News.
Donald Trump spoke at a campaign rally about 10 miles away, wildly overstating the size of the crowd.
I'm standing in front of tens of thousands of people right now, and it's on television. That's a hell of a lot harder to do than a debate.
The venue holds about 5,000 people. There's been an American attack on Iranian military assets. Here's CBS's Weijia Zhang.
At the direction of President Biden, two F-15 fighter jets launched airstrikes in eastern Syria at that weapons facility that is used by Iran's Revolutionary Guard and proxy forces that are backed by Iran.
The U.S. says the strikes are in retaliation for recent attacks on bases housing American troops in Syria and Iraq. An arrest has been made in the murder of Samantha Wall, the president of a synagogue in Detroit. WWJ's reporter Luke Sloan.
Investigators have not released the motive in the killing, but say there's no evidence to suggest that it was a hate crime. Detroit police says that even though a suspect is in custody, the investigation into Wall's murder has not been concluded.
Workers are still cleaning up a funeral home in Colorado where nearly 200 bodies were found improperly stored. Tremont County Coroner Randy Keller.
So a lot of people were curious as to how this impacted my staff, and I can say unequivocally that it was a very negative impact.
The owners of the funeral home were arrested Wednesday. This is CBS News.
Make the hiring process work for you. With Indeed's end-to-end hiring solution, you can attract, interview, and hire candidates all from one place. Start at Indeed.com.
Did you know this local radio station is part of Civic Media? Learn more about the entire network at civicmedia.us.
Show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Three, two, one. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the hump day edition, the happier happy hour. Rolling into it, Tom. And we're going to take many more of your calls and turn our attention towards the Marquette University Law School polling. Our friend Charles Franklin joining us at 5:30 Central Time. You can join us right now at 844-967-2789. We're doing some hot takes on last night's national elections. Virginia went blue. Ohio voted to institute the right to an abortion in their constitution. They also legalized recreational marijuana. And Andy Beshear, the Democratic governor of Kentucky, that's a pretty red state down there, won re-election, Dom. Dems outperformed, and the issue is certainly got to be abortion, because Donald Trump, realistically, I know he's a turnout machine for both sides, but he was not on the ballot, not last night, not in any substantial way. And Dems still turned out in probably off-year election, something resembling record numbers. 844-967-2789. Chris from Adams Friendship. Here's a new one. Welcome, Chris. What do you got for us?
Hi, Chris.
Hi. I want to respond to Bill. I am actually a child who was born to teenagers. I'm 48. I have lived with an uber conservative Trump father, Trump-loving father, and a more liberal mother. They are divorced. I myself actually ended up pregnant and very young, and had to make a decision. It was a unexpected pregnancy. However, precautions were taken, and it just still happened. And Bill has no idea what growing up in a teenage pregnancy household was like, and still to this day at 48 years old my father resents me
because Chris of the early pregnancy, or because your arrival in his life changed his life?
My arrival in his life. My parents do not know that I was ever pregnant. I was not going to bring a child into that same lifestyle regardless. But still to this day, 48 years later, my dad resents the fact that I exist.
Chris, Do you ever, and I've heard it represented by the pro-life anti-abortion movement, that women so often regret the abortions they have. Do you have any regrets of that sort, Chris?
Some. I do have some, because I never ended up having children. But at that time, there was no way mentally or financially I was prepared to have a child. I was 21 years old. I had no financial way to provide for a child. It was not long after that I was no longer with the father of the child. I would have been on the system. It was not a good situation all around.
When it's suggested that you should have carried the child to term, let's say your Trumpy dad found out, he probably would have said, you got to have the baby. You got to carry it to term.
He absolutely would have.
Could you envision putting yourself, your life through that, and then, let's say, turning that baby over for adoption? Did that ever strike you as a viable alternative?
I don't think mentally I would have been able to do it. I don't think I would have been able to provide a stable life for the child at the same time.
Chris, before we cut off this phone call, is there anything else you'd like to add? Any other information you'd like people like Bill or Dom or I or anyone listening right now, anything else you'd like us to know?
I would like Bill to understand that it's not a decision that is ever made lightly. It is not a decision I made on my own. There were plenty of conversations between myself and the father of the child. It was never done in secret between him and I. He is also very conservative. He also went on to, I believe, not have any biological children of his own. I do not know that for a fact, but I believe that is what I have been told. We have friends in common still. He did move away. But it is not an easy decision. It is not a it's the easy way out decision. There are consequences to the decision, and it's not a decision that, at least in my situation, was taken lightly.
Chris, did the father ever try to influence that decision to encourage you to have the baby, if I may ask?
Or the other way around, encourage you to obviously end up not having the baby. How did that go down?
No, it was a, we talked about it. It was a, we both decided we weren't ready. We both decided we weren't financially stable enough. We weren't emotionally stable enough. We both decided that carrying it to term and delivering, it wasn't a good decision. It was a conversation that was not a 1 minute, one day conversation. It was a lengthy conversation. It was something that we did take care of. We did do in the early stages, first trimester, because we did not want to do it any later than that. It was not a Planned Parenthood type situation. Everybody blames Planned Parenthood. It was not that type of situation. There was an actual clinic in Madison. There was a doctor that had a clinic in Madison. And my ultra-conservative best friend actually took me, even though she was against it. So, it's conversations, and it's not an easy decision. I also can attest to, I have several people in my life who have had barely viable children delivered. We're talking 24 weeks, and that's not an easy situation to live through either.
Chris, so, I got to be honest with you. I have been aware of a few of the women in my life have been candid and have told me they've had abortions. But this is probably the most candid conversation I've ever had on the topic, Chris. And I appreciate your candor.
Sure. My husband doesn't even know. I just don't talk about it. but I felt compelled to discuss it so that Bill knows that it's not an easy decision. It's not. And like I said, I haven't even told my husband.
Chris, thank you so much for your call.
You're welcome. Have a good night.
Thanks. You too, Chris. Wow. Wow. It is obviously a torturous decision for most people. And for people like Bill and others just to flippantly say, oh, you know, murdering babies. I mean, it's one thing to say that it's easy from the outside to just, you know, hurl that out there, you know, based on your fervent religious beliefs. But until you live through it and feel it and have to, you know, make these agonizing decisions, and ultimately it's not Bill's decision. And it's a woman's decision, in my opinion on this. And I think our previous caller in the last hour brought this up as well. It takes two to tango, man. You know what I mean?
Yes.
I mean, this doesn't happen by itself. You know, this isn't the Mother Mary, as the Christians would believe. That doesn't happen. And so there is responsibility, certainly, on all sides. So even though it is the woman at the, you know, has to go through the operation, the men's done quick, it's really up to the woman to go and have the procedure. You know, both are involved. At least in this particular case. Thank you once again for a great call. Appreciate you sharing. 844-967-2789. L.A. Tom, you're next. Welcome, Tom. What do you got for
us?
Hey,
Tom.
Hey, guys. First off, we the people ultimately are the government, and we must never forget that. And I think we showed that yesterday with the voting that's gone on. Remember, polls don't vote. People do. And I also want to say Chris was very admirable and coming on just now, and I want to thank her for that. The other thing I want to say is, just because a woman has the right to choose doesn't mean that she's necessarily going to choose termination. It's either the government's right to choose or a woman's right to choose. So all these people out there that call this the abortion issue, pro-abortion, da-da-da-da, it's not. It's pro a woman's right to choose or pro big government's right to choose. And it should be between a woman and her doctor and her partner. And, you know, it just blows my mind away that they make this into this thing where it's almost like pro-abortion. It's not. It's pro-woman's right to choose. And if you take away a woman's right to choose, someone like Chris wouldn't have even had the opportunity to choose anything. So it's about the choice and who's doing the choosing. So...
Do you remember when Scott Walker was running for re-election and
he put that at the end of the campaign
the warm
doctor and a woman. That's BS.
Well, of course, that was not his position, not beyond the election, not when he won re-election.
Right?
He defunded Planned Parenthood proudly, took away reproductive services from women, and I don't know if many men know this. I know Chris Kapinga, a state senator, was very dismissive, but they asked the question, how many men receive services in the state of Wisconsin each year from Planned Parenthood? The number was over 6,000 men receiving STD treatment, et cetera, through Planned Parenthood. Anyways, got any other quick thoughts, Tom?
Planned Parenthood might be the only place that some people have for health care.
You're probably right about that, Tom. And in the state of Wisconsin, they have taken the legal opinion of a Dane County judge, and they've begun restoring and performing services, but only in Madison and Milwaukee. And it's a big state. So, you know, some people are not getting the services they desire. Come back. More of your phone calls. 844-967-2789. More Devils.
It's the final game of the regular season, and Carroll University football is traveling to St. Louis to take on Washington University this Saturday, November 11th. The Veterans Day matchup with the Pios visiting the Bears, a team holding 19 conference titles and 45 All-Americans. Don and Johnny will have all the action live, pregame at 11:30, kickoff at noon. The final game of the regular season this Saturday on the Shaw, WAUK 540 AM, 101.1 FM, and the Civic Media app.
think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees. If you're interested or are part of an organization who wants to know more, go to our website, civicmedia.us, and click on the Careers tab.
I don't know if you know the Devil's Advocates, but the show is kind of a big deal. Get up, stand up.
Stand up for your and we're back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. If you missed any of this fine program, go to civicmedia.us. Click on the Shows tab. You can find the Devil's Advocates podcast and interviews.
Dominic, we got a fine guest 1 year to the election. He is Ben Wickler, Democratic Party of Wisconsin chair. We have him here captive in the Solidarity Realty Studios, the WMDX studios. And not to be too blunt, Chairman, but it's the economy, stupid. We heard that first from James Carville, and I'm sure it was said before he said it. But what do you say about that? People have the perception that the economy is bad, and increasing interest rates and, you know, people feeling stuck in their homes is not going to do anything except exacerbate that feeling. So Ben, obviously the president, the governor, no single individual has control over the economy, but you know, Biden's going to have to run against or with this economy. How do you deal with the economic issues and how paramount is the kitchen table economy to Wisconsin voters in your opinion, sir?
The economy always matters and it matters enormously. And even though inflation's going down, prices aren't going down. They're just not going up the same way that they were before. Interest rates are high. All that's totally real. Another thing that's real is that most people listening right now, you probably have a job. And most people you know probably have a job because we have record low unemployment in Wisconsin. And employment has been consistently unusually low across the country. We've been creating good jobs. Pay is going up after adjusting for inflation. The record deal just struck at UAW, where the president was on the picket line, speaks to that. Now, it takes a while. There's always a lag. When the economy gets better, it takes 6 to 8 months for the public to start feeling a little bit differently. And I think that we're in the early part of that period right now. And the president and the president's team and all of us, all the public office holders need to keep doing that work to grow the economy from the middle out and the bottom up instead of the top down, which is the Republican strategy that leads to a mushroom-shaped economy, as we know. So that work needs to continue. At the same time, there have been wise investments made. So the question is, will we have the time to see those investments pay off? Will people recognize that the prosperity that they're enjoying in their personal life, that's something that's not only affecting them, but everybody, in time for the election final results to reflect that? Now, in 2022, the Republicans were banking on the idea that inflation would tank Dems. We saw people like Tim Michels, who thought that this was the killer thing that would ensure that he would win the governor's race in Wisconsin. And, you know, most times when there's a Democratic president in the White House, a Republican does win the governor's office every election since 1962. But Democrats won. And we won because, in fact, the economy was delivering for folks and we were able to make the case that Republicans were taking away their basic freedoms and rights. So it's a both and situation. The right investments are being made. And we also have to make clear the stakes on all the other aspects of people's lives that are on the line in 24.
Well, I don't think it helped the Tim Michels campaign when he called Wisconsinites lazy.
Right.
But Rachel Maddow of MSNBC fame only does the Monday night show these days. But she also looked at the New York Times Siena polling and said something that nobody's talking about. 71% support amongst those polled for unionized labor. She said that's the highest it is polled since like 1964. Ben, how important is this sort of renaissance of the labor movement to the Democratic movement going forward? And do we see labor as part of the foot soldiers for the Democratic Party, or how do we make them such?
President Biden has it right. The middle class built this country and unions built the middle class. This is the most pro-union, pro-worker president we've had in certainly in my lifetime and probably most listeners' lifetimes. The president really made history when he was out there on the picket line with UAW, which not only sent a message to auto workers, it sent a message to workers everywhere. that if they stand up for their rights, like the intro song to this segment, if they are fighting out there to make sure that workers get justice, the president will have their back. And that so meets this moment in this country. You know, there's been a debate in the economics profession, how much inflation is just due to these impersonal external forces and how much it's due to companies taking this moment to raise prices and increase profits.
Right.
And get richer than they were before. Greedflation. And it turns out greedflation is totally real. All these companies have used the moment when they could kind of get away with it to jack their prices up. And they haven't passed that along to workers. And the having the government on the side of workers to make sure that working people get their fair share of this economy, that makes a huge difference to families all across the country. And I think that I know for a fact that union members across the country, even folks who might feel, could go either way on a lot of different issues with Democrats, they know that having elected officials who will stand up for working people makes a difference to their families. And that is one thing that gives me great hope for President Biden and for Tammy Baldwin, who's the number one proponent of Buy America legislation in the United States Congress.
Ben Wickler, chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin. I'm seeing a lack of credibility on the Republican side. And it seems like a lot of the folks that decide to retire, they're very boisterous and find a spine on the way out the door. But I'm wondering, how can the Dems and will the Dems, focus in on that? I mean, credibility matters, I think, to a lot of people. And you can have different beliefs, but if you say one thing to one crowd and one thing to another, if you're a hypocrite, I think ultimately that's going to rub off. And I've seen a lot of that coming out of the Republicans here in the state and certainly nationally as of late. Will the Dems, do you think that's important? Is that something you can focus on to really drill home that when we say something, we mean it and we have the facts to back it up?
Absolutely. I mean, infrastructure is a perfect example of this, right? Trump ran for president on the idea he was going to fix the roads and fix the airplanes. He had infrastructure week every single week. Not a dime. He did not pass anything. He's a builder. And then it turns out he's in, this trial for inflating the value of his assets by $250 million. And then Joe Biden comes in, pulls Republicans and Democrats together, and actually passes the bill. He's actually doing the stuff that Americans have been crying out for. And I think that absolutely matters. People want someone who will finish the job. And that is what President Biden is asking in his reelection campaign. He wants the chance to finish the job. It's also very clear from the whole history of Trump that if Trump comes in, the job will go unfinished. And in fact, he will be doing the wrong job in ways that make us need someone to come in and play cleanup.
He's Ben Wickler. Ben, 1 year and a wake up, and hopefully it will be the reelection of Joe Biden. But for any Dem strategists of the David Axelrod sort, that would suggest that maybe Joe should consider stepping back. What would be your response, sir?
My response is that any minute someone spends wishing we lived in some alternate universe is a minute they could have spent knocking on doors, talking to voters, reaching out to people that they know, posting on social media, making the case to the public that we need President Biden and Vice President Harris to finish the job. And we need to make absolutely sure that Donald Trump never again comes anywhere close to the nuclear codes or any of the things that come with it. This is the election. This is an election that will change the future of America. And we got to make sure it changes for the better and not the worse.
Most important election of our lifetimes?
We keep having most important elections of our lifetimes. This is one of the most important elections of our lifetimes. Hopefully we can turn down the temperature a little while after we defeat the threat of MAGAism once and for all.
Ben Wickler, people want to get involved with the Democratic Party of the great state of Wisconsin. How would they do so?
Go to wisdems.org. You can go to wisdems.org/join, become a member of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin, wisdems.org/contribute, donate a few bucks, or just go to wisdems.org and check it out. There's a lot of fun stuff.
What if
there.
Someone has a crazy idea to run?
Oh my God, do it. Go to wisdoms.org. At the top, you can click get involved and go to run for office. There are so many offices, local offices, thousands up in the spring. You start collecting signatures in your own community this December. So if you want to run for office, get involved, join your local county party, go to a meeting and say you want to run. You will find folks who will help organize for you. And we want you to be a next office holder in our great state.
Dom's just a big talker. He lives in Canodal's district. Ben Wickler, thank you so much. Democratic Party of Wisconsin chair. Come back. Next, it's your turn. 844-96-PARTY.
Thanks, Ben.
CBS News Brief, the negotiating committee of the Actors Union, says it's reached a tentative agreement to end the 4-month-long strike.
Elaine Lowe is a reporter for the Hollywood trade publication, The Ankler.
I'm told by sources in the room that the mood is jubilant, that there are very tired tears. This was, of course, a unanimous vote. It was 17-0 in favor of this package.
Republican presidential candidate Vivek Ramaswamy lit into his own party Wednesday night during a debate on NBC.
It was my home state of Ohio. I'm upset about this. Yesterday, that passed a constitutional amendment that now effectively codifies a right to abortion all the way up to the time of birth without parental consent. Why? It's back to that Republican culture of losing.
The U.S. has launched an airstrike in Syria on facilities linked to Iran. CBS's Weijia Zhang.
They were in response to attacks on U.S. troops in both Syria and Iraq, over 40 in the last 3 weeks alone.
Dozens of American troops were injured in those attacks. CBS News Brief. I'm Christopher Cruz.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wegehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The bill to use public money to make repairs at American Family Field is expected to go to the full Senate next week. Two legislative committees approved an amended version of the bill on Wednesday. While it is not known if the new bill has enough votes to pass in the Senate, Governor Evers says he would sign it if it made its way to his desk. The Waukesha School District wants a federal court to dismiss a lawsuit filed by a former teacher who was fired earlier this year. Melissa Temple lost her job as a first-grade dual-language teacher in July. She claims the district retaliated against her for speaking out on social media about the song Rainbow Land being cut from a first-grade concert. Among other things, the school district says Temple was airing a personal grievance. I'm Nate Wegehout, Civic Media News.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here. I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Don't change the station, but do watch out for deer, would ya? You know, they're running around all willy-nilly. It is the Krebscast with me, Charlie Behrens, on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Partly cloudy skies overnight with a low of 36. Northwesterly winds 10 to 15 miles an hour. High of 50 tomorrow. Tomorrow night, lows around 31. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 43 degrees.
UPS Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org, brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
The Devil's Advocates, the fix for political junkies everywhere.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Wednesday edition, the post-election other place edition, but also a great day down because we got Marquette University Law School polling, and that generally means we got our friend Charles Franklin joining us. He does so right now. Charles, welcome back to the greatest radio show ever, some people say.
Hey, Charles.
Absolutely, people say that.
I've seen it polled, Charles. Even with an oversampling of Republican, we still come out as the greatest radio show ever.
No doubt. No doubt.
Charles, let's start top of the polling, and this is Wisconsin-specific polling. We know Marquette University Law School polls sometimes concentrates on national issues and polls national issues. But today, it's Wisconsin, baby. And top of the ticket, it's Joe Biden and Donald Trump. So how's incumbent Joe do?
Yeah, well, he's slight. I should say we did this October 26th to November 2nd, a little over 900 registered voters. Margin of error is 4.5%. Biden leads Trump by 2 points, 50 to 48. That's inside the margin of error. When we switch to Biden versus DeSantis, it's DeSantis ahead by 2 points, 50 to 48. But when we do Biden versus Nikki Haley, she has a 9-point lead over Biden, which is really interesting because of what it says about how little known she is. A third of our respondents, 33%, said they didn't know enough to have a favorable or unfavorable view of her. But even those that didn't have an opinion about her voted for her over Biden. I think this is really, she stands as sort of a generic Republican. She doesn't have the baggage that Trump carries and to some extent DeSantis does. And so people can see her and not see her so tightly connected to them. And that lets Biden's weaknesses stand out a little bit more when voters are looking at her versus Biden. If she could somehow become the nominee, those numbers would change tremendously as we go through the campaign and people get to know her more and more and partisans line up in their corners. But it is a good example of where Biden is potentially weak. But despite that, Trump is his weakest opponent, and that's the one that Trump does the worst of these three Republicans against Biden.
Charles, as you look at the three Republicans versus Biden, where do those votes come from? Is that the independents? Sure. I mean, how does that break down?
Yeah, it's actually, I think, really interesting. Biden gets 94% of Democrats when he's matched against Trump. Trump only gets 88% of Republicans. In our data, about 28% of Republicans have a negative view of Donald Trump. And that hurts him in that Trump versus Biden comparison. Also, independents split dead even, 47% for Trump and 47% for Biden. When we move to DeSantis, he picks up a few points in Republican loyalty that'll vote for him but wouldn't vote for Trump. He doesn't take anything away from Biden's Democratic support, but what DeSantis and then Haley both do is they pick up a significant lead among independents, 58 to 30-something. There's where you see the swing. And finally, with Haley, she actually does bring down Biden's Democratic support from about 94 to about 90%, still really good. But she's picking up a little bit there, and she's also winning over the independents, as does DeSantis. But Haley does the best among Republicans, better than Biden or, I'm sorry, better than Trump or better than DeSantis.
Charles, I'm sorry, I haven't had the benefit of looking forward to the crosstabs. Do we see a breakdown amongst gender of these voters that would prefer a Nikki Haley, for instance?
Yeah.
It's been my inclination, and I've seen plenty of media reports that Trump is not popular, especially with, let's say, suburban women.
Right.
Well, Nikki Haley may not have that same problem. Do we know how it breaks down based on gender at this point, Charles?
There is a pretty big gender gap in all three of these, with majorities of men going for the Republican candidate, majorities of women going for Biden. That gender gap is a little bit smaller with Haley, but you still see the difference that women are more supportive of Democrats generally and supportive of Biden specifically. The fact that Haley is a woman may have some mitigating effect there, but I think the idea that she really doesn't have a strong enough image with enough voters for them to really know what the partisanship of her, you know, the partisan nature of her appeal is. So it still ends up being a gender gap in favor of Biden.
Charles, I had seen you have the polling from the last elective cycle, the 2022 polling, Marquette University Law School polls, has it pinned on its Twitter page. Looking back a little further, if your memory serves, I'd have to fill in the blanks for Don, but I trust you. Charles, how did the polling look? And I realize we're a year out, but how did the polling look Biden v. Trump in 2020 here in the state of Wisconsin?
closest to the election, if you recall, sir.
Yeah, closest to the election, we had Biden up by 4, and he won by 1. 4 or 5, I have to think about that, but I think it was 4 or 5. And so we were a little high on Biden then. Earlier in the campaign, though, Biden had had a bigger lead, and that then tightened as we got closer to the election. But we still we didn't so much overstate Biden's vote as understate Trump's vote. And so that remains an issue for me and for all pollsters to worry about for the next 12 months.
Folks, you're listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Charles Franklin, he's the director of the Marquette University Law School poll. Friend of ours, new polling dropped. Also today, Charles, is a Republican debate going on in Florida. I know you polled on the Republican primary. How was it looking in the summer, and how's it looking now?
Sure. Trump has a 20-point lead over DeSantis, 38 to 18. Nikki Haley's at 11. And everybody else is below 4 points. They're at 3 points or less. Haley moved up from 3 to 11, so up 8 points since June. But DeSantis fell by 12 points from 30 to 18. Trump had been at 31 in June. We had that a really close race. In fact, far closer than most polls elsewhere had it. But Trump has now moved up by 7 to get to 38. The 38 is surprisingly low when you see that in national data, he's polling in the mid to upper 50s in the primary. But look to Iowa next door, and their latest poll had Trump at 43 in the caucus. And so we have him at 38, similar, and both well below the national number. Also, he's doing less well in New Hampshire. So I'm not sure whether we're a little light on Trump supporters in our primary poll, but we are seeing him take a solid lead now that he didn't have in June.
Charles, if we remember all the way back to 2016, Trump lost the primary by double digits in the state of Wisconsin. This was not his most popular state. And in fact, the right-wing talk radio infrastructure really didn't adopt Trump, didn't care for Trump until, you know, he won the primary and they thought they could steal a Supreme Court seat. But you talked about Trump beating DeSantis currently by about 20 in the state of Wisconsin. New polling out of Florida suggests Trump's up on DeSantis in DeSantis's home state, where he's the governor, by 39 or 40 points. Charles, outside of maybe a few selected states like Wisconsin, Trump really is literally running away with this. This debate tonight's for the undercard, for second place, probably. Can you see any scenario other than perhaps the imprisonment of the current front runner that would change this mathematical dynamic between now and, let's say, January 15th in the Iowa caucuses?
Yeah, I think it's very unlikely, one, especially given our past mistakes in earlier elections. You don't ever want to say never, but here's what would happen. In the history of primary polling, we often do see candidates make moves in late November and December polling, and then the Iowa caucus comes and that upsets the apple cart or confirms it. But John Kerry, for example, was in low single digits until late fall in that November-December time, and then he zoomed up and ended up winning the Iowa caucus. So, you know, we do have reason to say there's been big change in the late going. On the other hand, we've never seen a former president in a primary this late, and a former president that has as strong a hold on the party as Trump has. Here in Wisconsin and in our national polling, about 70% of Republicans say they have a favorable view of Trump, but about 30% say they have an unfavorable view of him. And that 30% is desperately looking for any other candidate, but they've not coalesced around any one of the many alternatives. And in this latest poll, 24% say they're undecided in the Republican primary. Mm-hmm. So, yes, there is room there potentially for some movement. But even if you converted all of the anti-Trump Republicans, he would still be ahead 70-30. So you really have got to find some way of peeling away some of his support. And so far, none of the other Republican candidates have come close to doing that. In fact, the coalescing that's taking place is coalescing for Trump. And that's what you're seeing in that Florida data you're talking about. And it's what we're seeing in national data, where Trump's strength has actually risen 10 points or so, while DeSantis, who early on was taking away about a third of the Trump vote, has just plummeted to very low ability to pull Trump voters to him.
Charles Franklin, Director of Marquette University Law School, polling elections across the country last night. Charles, abortion, a big issue. Dems were winning on it. What are they saying about abortion in the state of Wisconsin?
Well, here in Wisconsin, people prefer abortion rights rather than restrictions. We have it at 57% saying that Roe versus Wade should not have been overturned. About 35% say it should. That's pretty much in line with what we've seen since it was overturned. Maybe we were a little closer to 60 opposed earlier. A few people, 6% this time, said they hadn't heard of that decision. It's a little hard to believe. But that's been the balance of opinion here in the state for all of the years since 2012. I've been doing polling on the issue. We consistently see something close to 60% favoring abortion rights, and around 30 to 35% opposed to it. And that hasn't changed much, maybe by 5 points, since the decision overturning Roe. I think last night you mentioned we saw the abortion referendum in Ohio passing very strongly. And we saw that in 6 other states with abortion referenda in 2022. So I think that's a pretty strong indication of how the issue stands with voters, even in a red state like Ohio, when it's the only issue on the ballot. It was implicated in the Virginia legislative races last night and in the Kentucky governor's race. So I think the power of the abortion issue remains there. But it's not always about, it's not always the only issue on the ballot the way it is on a referendum. And at that point, the personalities of the candidates play a big role, too.
Our fine guest, Charles Franklin, for just a minute longer. Charles, I think it's clear you've oversampled Republicans in regards to the gerrymandering issue. We've seen a number of advisory referendums where even Republicans support recasting the maps, fair maps. But when you poll and say, should we recast the maps, what did you find, Charles?
We found a slight majority, 51%, who wanted to keep the current maps until 2031, when we would normally redistrict, and about 44% say redistrict now. Here's the thing. We did not mention in the question gerrymandering or the partisan advantage. We let voters either know that or not. And what we found was that Republicans were 75% against redistricting, Democrats were 73% in favor, and independents a little bit opposed. That message hasn't gotten through to all the voters. There is a reasonable alignment, but it's not a dominant opinion yet.
We'll move that electorate when we can, Charles. Thank you so much for joining us here on the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Charles, any final thoughts here?
Well, I think we're looking at a close race, and that shows, but it is the case that both Biden and Trump have real problems going into the campaign. They also have some strengths. How those things work their way out, if that's the race, well, we'll see. It seems like a yep. rerun of 2020.
Oh, Charles, no. Don't forget the poll. Greatest radio show ever. I feel quite positive we'll do well. Thank you, Charles Franklin.
Imagine wearing a shirt that's either too big or too small. That just doesn't feel right. And when it comes to your Medicare coverage plan, Smart Medicare Solutions understands that one size does not fit all. Your plan should be meticulously tailored to meet your specific needs. With a wide range of insurance providers to choose from, Smart Medicare Solutions can help find your perfect Medicare fit. Get clear, objective advice by logging on smartmedicaresolutions.com. Smart Medicare Solutions, guiding you through Medicare with generations of expertise. Be a part of the resistance. Check out the Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson, Monday nights at 7 on The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK, and on the Civic Media app.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
You're listening to the radio show your mother warned you about, The Devil's Advocates.
And thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show, our last segment of the day. If you got something to say, hit us up right now, 844-967-2789. Stick around. The Maggie Dawn Show coming up next.
If you don't line up, we may allow the band to break. CJ is in the queue. We can see him waiting. So it's up to other callers to give us a reason why we can't take CJ's call. Otherwise, we'll give you a chance, CJ, but that's...
It's up to the callers. It's up to the audience.
Up to all the other possible people we could take before
anybody, you. Anybody, everybody, if you want to call, right now is the time to do it. 844-967-2789.
You better say it again slow and clearly.
The Civic Media app, just click on the call button. It'll automatically call the greatest radio show ever. 844-967-2789.
Against our better judgment and corporate mandates. CJ, we're going to give you one chance. You got to play along. Welcome back to the greatest radio show ever, CJ. How long that lasts is up to you.
Hey, CJ.
I'm Sarah Edgert, Candlelight.
Oh, he's not ready for us.
See, you snooze and you lose. You know, it's like a sad movie. You know, you finally thought you're going to get there, and it's like if Rudy didn't come out and play, you know, it just doesn't work out. Sorry, man. Try tomorrow or Friday.
Rudy didn't get in the game, didn't get the sack, right. Didn't get the memories, didn't get the chance.
Yep. Just a whole different ball game, man. A whole different ending.
You realize the entire audience just had a collective
sigh of relief.
One CJ is oversampling CJ.
Thank you, Charles Franklin, Marquette University Law School. Polling, you know, polls are polls. You can look at the crosstabs and see if they oversampled Republicans. I still say the New York Times polling did. I haven't seen this particular polling's crosstabs yet, but, you know how it is.
It's a small, relatively small sample.
Yeah, under like 900 1,000. Or something, yeah.
So here's the deal. When Charles next drops another Marquette University Law School poll on Wisconsin, then we'll welcome CJ back again. Charles told us, when's that January that's coming? Maybe you'll be ready.
Yeah, if you're ready then, instead of ordering your food or whatever was going on there. I'm not surprised by the polling necessarily. I think we've talked about it before. You know, if it's not Trump, some of the other candidates start looking better to some other folks who are like super anti-Trump or just want a reasonable person, even if they're conservative.
Maybe a candidate not under 91 criminal indictments.
Perhaps, you know, or found liable for, you know, sexual assault or, you know, a myriad of fraud charges, you know, whatever. Apparently that, you know, attracts some Republicans. But my concern on this particular polling, the gerrymandering, the maps. And I get it. A lot of it comes down to how you phrase the question. You know, how do you put the words out there? And if really seriously 50% of people in this state think that these maps are okay, I think we got a job to do, man. I mean,
I specifically.
Yeah, yes, absolutely. We do.
Especially you, because yes. Dropping. You're not doing your part.
Come on, man. And I get it. It's not a sexy thing, and it's hard to really kind of, you know, put your hands around, especially if you're not dialed in and, you know, watching and listening and being involved every single day. Maps are boring. Maps, you know, well, they do maps. So what? They do the maps. You know, you do the maps in 10 years. No, there's a reason why they put so much effort into the maps back in, what, 2010, 2011? Because it's like concrete.
You're
man.
Cooking You're the books stuck. For a decade.
I know. And then if you go to lease maps like they just did.
Lease change maps. And they didn't even adopt the lease change maps because Evers proposed the lease change maps. He vetoed the legislative maps. And then the U.S. Supreme Court said, find a different answer. And Hagedorn flipped his vote and said, well, we're going to change maps. Which does perhaps give justification to one of the rationales that the, Wisconsin Supreme Court will take up in oral arguments.
Yeah.
There were five reasons put forth, but they're only adopting two
to
get in terms of original jurisdiction, because we're going to start at the Wisconsin Supreme Court. And we could have a ruling, I would guess, by what, first of the year?
I mean, this happens this month, right? The arguments or whatever.
November 21st.
I mean, yeah.
Today's the 8th.
It's coming quick.
Less than 2 weeks before oral arguments. It will begin on a Tuesday.
So,
my second favorite day of the week, because Friday's weekend and Tuesday's, because that's always election day.
Obviously, it's going to go to the Wisconsin Supreme Court. We get a ruling. So, no matter what people think in the Marquette University Law School polls, somewhat irrelevant, because the courts are going to ultimately decide. Hopefully, they'll decide to redraw the maps and everybody's on the ballot. 844.
But the broader electorate knew that this issue was on the ballot. They elected Protasiewicz by 11 points. And if you hear the Republicans, she's already told us how she's going to vote on this. And the people said, yeah, more of that.
Yeah, yeah.
She won by 11.
That's a very common number these days.
Yeah, 11?
Yeah.
It's almost like women are much more motivated to go vote because they want their rights restored. And also there's that whole issue of small d democracy. I think we should all care about that. 844-967-2789. Lynn from Minneapolis. Welcome, Lynn. What do you got for us?
Hi, Lynn.
Yeah, just a quick comment on this. Part of the reason Republicans don't worry about the gerrymandering is I know the Whitey Teddy radio, they define the problem as that, all those Democrats live together, crowded in town, and then they complain they don't get enough representation, whereas Republicans are everywhere, right?
Well, that's the claim here in the state of Wisconsin, they also claim better candidates and better ideas. But I've met some of these people.
Yeah, I hear that.
They're not our best and brightest, Lynn.
Yeah, no. Well, even in Minnesota here, the Republicans have been pushing for this notion that the rural districts need to have less people, you know, because it's not fair to have, so many districts in the Twin Cities, right? So you need to make bigger districts in the rural area and make smaller ones in the Twin Cities. Does that make sense?
Sort of.
So they want land to have representation.
For the fortunate side, Lynn, my understanding is the Minnesota legislature is controlled by the blue team. You got a blue governor, but you've also got a Supreme Court that, my understanding, ruled today Donald Trump's allowed on the ballot. I didn't like that ruling.
So far.
14th Amendment. They are not excluding him from the Minnesota ballot. There's also a Colorado case, and we've seen it, you know, with Marjorie Taylor Greene and Madison Cawthorn. Hell, we saw a federal lawsuit that was dismissed here in the state of Wisconsin trying to ban Ron Johnson from the ballot. That was not successful either. I'm wondering if these are futile efforts.
I don't think they are. Certainly, the dude is an insurrectionist. And my reading on it briefly was it was kind of a split decision. There's more to come on that. I don't have it for you right now, but it's still going on.
Thank you to our fine guests today. They were Gwen Moore, Congresswoman from Milwaukee, and of course, Charles Franklin. Always appreciate when you listen. Stick around. Maggie Dawn is next, and then the Empowered Caregiver Show and a crossover. Pizza Box Mike on the Empowered Caregiver with Liza Helen Brand. Keep it locked, Civic.
Your home of the Earl Ingram Show. Weekday mornings from 8 till 10 on The Shaw. 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way.
You're listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.